mic all up because God messed me up in worship. So Mike, we're freestyling today. But go with me to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. But while you're going there, last week I wasn't here because we got the Donnie had gotten the positive COVID test. We'd been around her, so we had to isolate and do all of those things. But I just want to, Janine's not in here, but she did a fabulous job last weekend, amen. She just did everything. It was awesome. And Mike Wildman, many of you don't know it because you're not here early enough, but he's usually the first one here and the last one to leave. And he's just a tremendous blessing, and I thank both of you so much for filling in, and the rest of you that helped. It's just makes me proud as a pastor. Absolutely. Absolutely. So what did I say? Mark chapter 5. How many really want to receive something from God? How many feel like, you know, if Jesus walked in the room, something would happen? Come on, if Jesus walked in the room, that whatever you had need of, whatever He promised, you'd get. Does any believe that? Now, I'm going to tell you that that's not necessarily true. I'm going to tell you that's not necessarily true, and I'll show you. If you go to Mark chapter 5, and we're going to start out in verse 21. Very famous situation. But watch this now. It says, now when Jesus had crossed over the boat, saw the multitude gathered by the sea. Wait a minute, I'm not in the right. Wait a minute. I got it. Okay. No, I'm right. Verse 25, I'm sorry. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. Like I said, the Lord gave this to me. I haven't written anything down. And suffered many things from many physicians. She spent all that she had and was no better. But she grew worse. But when she heard about Jesus, she came behind Him in the crowd and touched His garment. For she said, if I only may touch His clothes, I shall be made well. And immediately her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that it was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that power had gone from Him, He turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But His disciples said to Him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And He looked around to see who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before Him and told Him the whole truth. And He said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Interesting. As we were in worship this morning, the Lord was speaking to me about not the daughter, but the crowd. But the crowd. When it says that the multitude thronged Him, a multitude by many commentators is up to 5,000 people. So He's walking along, and get the picture, He's walking along, He's going, He's actually on His way to this man who had a daughter that was sick, and was on His way to heal the daughter. And so everybody said, let's go see this. And they're all intact. How many think that so there are some people in that crowd that had ailments? How many think that somewhere in that crowd there may have been people who needed the power of God to touch them that day? How many think that there might have even been some depression in the crowd? There might have been somebody that needed some money because they didn't know what they were going to eat that night. How many know that there were some of those folks in that crowd? Hold your place right there. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Billy. Happy birthday to you. And so there were many people with many things that they needed from God. and Jesus was walking in their midst, and they were thronging Him, they were bumping into Him, but they received nothing. They received nothing. Why? What the woman did and her actions are the key for us to receive from God. Come on, are you with me today? If we can get where she got, we can receive what He gives. Come on. How many know that He went about doing good and healing all that were sick and all that were oppressed of the devil? His purpose, His will was for them to be healed and to be well. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Listen, but watch this. Listen to her situation. Go back up to verse 25. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. Had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Sometimes we have to get to the place of desperation before we'll believe for the impossible. Let me say that again. Sometimes we need to get to the place of desperation before we'll believe for the impossible. Come on. We don't have to wait for that, but oftentimes that's where it is. I mean, it's like, God, I have no other avenue. I've exhausted everything else. I've tried on my own. I've been to the doctors. I've been to this one. I've been to that one. I've had this person pray for me. I had this person pray for me. But God, I don't know what to do. That's where this woman was. She was desperate. She had no idea how she was going to get by. But look at this. When she heard about Jesus. Anybody in here heard about Jesus? Come on, anybody heard about who He is? What He can do, what He will do, what He has done? Have you ever heard a testimony and said, oh, I wish He'd do that for me? Well, He's no respecter of persons. What He did for somebody else, He'll do for you. What He did for this woman, He'll do for you. Come on. Now watch this. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind Him in the crowd and touched His garment. How do we hear about Jesus? Word of knowledge. Word of mouth. Come on, the word of mouth, we hear by testimonies. Sometimes we hear it in a book. But the main place that we hear about Jesus, you're holding in your hand. Or you're watching on the screen. The Bible. The Bible. But when we hear it, do we believe it? No. It's not like, well, I believe Jesus can do that. I believe Jesus can do that. I believe Jesus can do that for somebody else. But you see, that's not going to get the thing that you need done. It's when you believe Jesus will do that for you. In fact, I will tell you that it's not that you believe that He will do it for you. You have to believe that He's done it for you. Now faith. Faith is right now. If it's not right now, it's not faith. So right now, look at, and she said, if I just could touch. Now watch this. For she said, if I could just touch the hem of His garment, I'll get anything I need. I'll be healed. I'll be made whole. If I can touch. Now, sometimes the touching in desperation takes extraordinary acts to complement what you've said. What do I mean by that? She had to press through the crowd. First of all, that could have got her killed. Because in Jewish culture, somebody that had an issue of blood for that many years was supposed to run around saying, unclean! I'm unclean! They were supposed to walk on the other side of the street, not with the crowd. But she said, I have a need. He's got the answer. I'm going to get to Him to get what I need. Now, for us, what does that mean? Sometimes it means, you know what? I got to shut off every other voice and get into the Word of God for myself and spend time with the Holy Spirit who will teach me about these things because I am going to receive what God has promised. We have to do extraordinary things. Why? Because God's up there going, well, let's see who'll work the hardest. No, because we have to separate ourselves from our doubt in order to receive what our faith will produce. Let me say that one more time. We have to separate ourselves from our doubt so that we can receive what our faith will produce. Somebody say, well, I don't have faith. Are you born again? If you're born again, if Jesus is Lord and Savior, the only way that you can be born again is that if you believe in your heart. So you already have faith. And the Bible says that God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. How much faith does it take? Jesus said it this way. If you have the faith as the grain of a mustard seed, that's not very big. Then you've got enough faith to move a mountain. Come on. Come on, come on. But watch this. She said, so you have to say some things in order to get some things. Well, you know, if God wants to, He will. Well, if that were true, everybody would be born again. Every church in the world would be filled with people that are full of the Spirit of God, born again because that's His will. He said, I will that all men would be saved. All men that we save, that women, that's mankind, everybody would be saved. Why aren't they? Because, A, they haven't heard, or they've heard, but they haven't believed. If we want what God has for us, we've got to quit listening to the voices in our head that are in opposition to what God has promised. If He said, I can, then I can. But I have to touch His garment. Come on. Let's go on. For she said, if I may touch His clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately, the fountain of blood was dried up and felt in her body. She was healed of the affliction. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine 12 years of going through the pain and all of the discomfort of this flow of blood? And the minute that she touched His garment, she was made instantly healed. What do you think you would do in that situation? Come on, yeah, yeah. Glory, for sure, you'd shout, glory, hallelujah. But at the same time, watch this. She began to tremble and was in fear because she had touched the holiness of God and she touched the power of God. And she, even though she believed that she was going to get it, when she got it, she was in awe of what God did. Right? So watch this. It's important for us to seek His face and say, God, I'm going to take You at Your word, and I'm coming after it with all that I have. And Lord, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to stop until I touch what You promised. Come on. How many have had bills that you cannot pay? Come on. If He said He'd supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus, how much time have you spent with the supplier concerning the need? Now watch this. I just want to clarify this. If she would have said, if I only touch the hem of His garment, I'll be healed, and she sat at home and listened to all the reasons why she shouldn't go touch Him, she'd have died. God will speak to us when we seek Him. His power is available to you today. The doctors may have said it's impossible. Come on, the banker may have said it's impossible. The lawyers may have said it's no use. Reach out and touch the hem of His garment, for He is the way maker. Come on. He's the miracle worker. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If He did it for her, He'll do it for me. Hello? Come on. But you could, well, Pastor, why isn't it not happening for me? Why? Shut up. Compassionately. Shut up. You're saying the wrong thing. He is my healer. He is my provider. He is my peace. He is my comfort. He is my joy. Right? Glory to God. He's here to touch you today. Jesus is walking by. But again, there were throngs of people in the crowd who received nothing because they didn't believe for anything. They thought, well, if He wants to, He will. They thought, well, maybe I might get something if I just walk close enough. It's like you've got to have the dog-eared determination that, Lord, I'm not letting go of You until I receive what You promised. I'm not going to give up. I refuse to quit. See, I think we're living in a day, and it's so sad for us, but I think it's true. That we live in a day where we live in part-time Christianity. What do I mean by that? Well, I'm a Christian on Sunday. And when I say Christian, what do I mean? Listen, I just read something this morning, thoroughly disturbed me, thoroughly blew my mind. Did you know that they did a survey, and this is some university somewhere, but they did a survey that in the United States, there's only 9% of those who call themselves Christians that have a biblical worldview. Only 9%. What does that mean? That means they don't believe the Bible. That means they don't believe that the Bible should be their source for everything. See, until you get to the place where you believe, God, Your word is Your word, and I'm going to stand on Your word no matter what. See, this is the way that I feel. I feel that if I was going broke, I would say till the bankruptcy guys came that He supplies all my needs. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. God will overflow His blessings upon me. If I was diagnosed with cancer, I'd be saying to the last breath, by His stripes, I am healed. Right? Why? Because I'm going to say what I want, not say what I have. I said I'm going to say what He's promised. Right? I'm not going to just say anything, but by His word and by what He said, I'm going to stand on His promise because she heard about Jesus. What have you heard about Jesus? Have you heard that Jesus can heal the brokenhearted? Have you heard that Jesus can heal the sick? Have you heard that Jesus can set demonic people free? Have you heard that one touch from Jesus and the addicted will walk in one way and go out a different way? I'm all for treatment. I'm all for all of the doctors. I'm all for all of that. But come on, there is a one-step program. Jesus touches you because you've reached out to Him, and at that point, you're free. She was immediately healed of her affliction. Now watch this. And Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that the power had gone out of Him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And His disciples, obvious at the absurdity of that statement, said, "What do you mean? People are bouncing into you all over the place." See, there's a touch that is different than all other touches. There's a way to touch God that other people may not have, but you can have. Come on. But you have to be determined. You have to say, no, I heard about Jesus. I heard what He does. I heard what He can do. I'm standing on His Word no matter what I feel, no matter what the circumstances are. And I'm going to continue to stand forever on His Word. Come on. Are you with me? Who touched my clothes? But His disciples said to Him, come on, you see the multitude and say, who's touched me? And He looked around to her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came, fell down before Him and told Him the whole truth. And He said to her, daughter, my power has made you whole. Daughter, it was a special move of God that made you whole. My daughter, it's because an angel of heaven came down, stirred the water that you were made whole. My daughter, your faith, your believing I am who I say I am, your believing I will do what I said I could do, your believing that God is the God of the brokenhearted, God is the one who will heal the sick, God is the one, your faith in me is what made you whole. The question, if Jesus walked in, would you be part of the crowd? Or would you be the woman? Percentage-wise, I'll just tell you right away. One woman, 5,000 people. Odds aren't very good, are they? Yeah, come on, Dale. That's right. Yeah. You are, if you're determined, I'm going to be that one. I'm going to be that one. I know a man that went through a drug program, and they said to him, they said, look at you all out here, but only, you know, like 20%, 2 out of 10 are going to make it through. And, you know, that can be discouraging. Unless you say, I'm one of the two. I'm one of the two. Because what are you going to do if you're one of the two? You're going to do whatever it takes to get through to succeed. Right? I'm one of the two. Bless God. What does that mean? Well, then when I don't want to do something, but they tell me to do it, I'm going to do it. Are you with me? If they say to jump, I'm going to say how high. If God said it, I believe it, and that settles it, that's done. It's over. Yeah, but you don't understand. Maybe God will, maybe God won't. No, if He said He would, He will. The Bible said He sent His Word and healed us. Does it not say that? David said this. He said, listen, I'm not going to forget any of your promises. For you forgive my iniquity and you heal all of my diseases. I'm glad that I have faith that my sins are forgiven. Anybody else in the room? Or anybody else in the room really want to go to hell? No, I'm so serious. I'm so serious. It's not a part-time Christianity that's going to get you to heaven. It's a full-time Christianity that's going to get you to heaven. Right? And so I believe in my heart, and I've said with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God's raised Him from the dead, therefore I'm saved. But I believe that with all my heart. Am I scared of dying? I don't want to die 1 second before my time. But I'm not afraid of it at all. Why? Because I know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Come on. I'm glad that my iniquity has been forgiven. I believe that with all my heart. You can't convince me otherwise. I believe that Jesus is who He said He is. I believe it, so don't try. But watch this. Do I believe that He's just the God of my salvation? And what does that mean? Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. That word life there is Zoe. And in it, it means provision. It means deliverance. It means healing. It means anything that you need that's promised in the Word of God is available to you. But you've got to get out of your house. That's your place of comfort. You've got to start seeking Him. Now watch this. I just want to testify. She's not here today, so I'm not going to mention her name. Some of you will know who I'm talking about. She said, you know, I feel like God's called me to do something. So she said, I'm going to get alone with God. And she worked a job. She raised kids, all of that. But she, all of her spare time, she was in her room seeking God. Reading His Word, praying in the Spirit, asking God, not for a week, not for a day, but for months. 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 Until God began to speak to her. Why isn't God talking to me? Well, He doesn't have time to talk to you in the 5 seconds before you fall asleep. That's not reaching for the hem of His garment. I believe that God will talk to us all the time, and He does. But what I'm talking about this morning is that I am going to get what God has promised, not just because, look at, I mean, think about this from just an eternity standpoint. If I'm healed today, or if I die today, what difference does that make? I'm going to be with Him forever. One time I was, this is on a side note, but I was asking God about a person who died when they were really young. And I said, oh God, that just seems like such a waste. And you know, I was kind of grieving over it and tormented a little bit over it. And I felt Him spoke to me, He said, haven't you read that a day with the Lord is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day? And I think that's metaphorically, it's not an actual number that you can calculate out with. But what He's saying to me is, look at, if they die when they're 20 or if they die when they're 100, it's just a few seconds to me. Right? Right? I mean, we look at things differently because we're looking at it from a temporal standpoint. But we want to get what God's promised to us. She heard about Jesus. What did she hear? That He was healing the sick. That the demons were being absolutely set free. That people were being, come on, fed. 5,000 would be fed with a couple of fish. This Jesus is awesome. I got to get to Him because I've tried everything else. Oftentimes people get saved because they've tried everything else. Nothing's worked, and they come to the place of desperation. And sometimes I think there are folks who don't get saved, and I'm not going to define that, but don't get saved because they're not desperate when they say the prayer. I'll just add this to everything else. You know, getting saved means that you leave everything else. I said, getting saved means that you leave everything else and you follow Him. What does that mean? I don't have an opinion. I have His Word. His Word is my opinion. Come on. I'm not going to use the Bible as something to beat over your head, but if you're asking me what I believe about this, well, I'm just going to probably refer to this and say, well, the Word says. My mentor, Kenneth E. Hagin, you'd go up to him with a question. And he'd say, well, Dad, what about this? And he said, well, the Word says. Always. Well, the Word says. Or if you go, like people, you know, Bible school students, they come up with goofy things and go up and say, God, Dad, I got this revelation. Something crazy off the wall. And he'd just look at them and go, well, I don't see any precedent for that in the Word. In other words, his whole life was based on what does the Word say? Come on. But once you've heard it, you've got to do it. I said, once you've heard it, you've got to do it. Come on, you got to speak to the leg. You got to speak to the arm. You got to speak to the mind. You got to speak to the depression. Go to Mark 11. Just a few verses over. Y'all getting something this morning? Come on, I want you to jump up this morning. I want you to begin to grab a hold, to go after the hem of His garment. One more time and just say, God, I laid it down for a while, but I'm back. Devil, you had me fooled for a while, but I'm back. Flesh, you were talking to me, but I'm back. Right, I'm back. That's what I'm about this morning. If you went to the first of the chapter, you'd see that Jesus spoke to the fig tree and the fig tree withered and died. And in verse 20, it says, now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, this fig tree which you cursed is withered away. Now I'm going to add a verse to it. And Jesus said, duh. That's not in your translation, I'm sure. Well, of course it is. Obviously it is. Why? Because I spoke to it. What have you spoken to lately? Now watch what he says. Verse 22, so Jesus answered and said to them, Peter made this big revelation. It's withered up. So this was Jesus' answer. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. There are some translations that say, have the God kind of faith. But I like to have faith in God. You can't have faith for healing. You have to have faith in the healer. You can't have faith for provision. You have to have faith in the provider. Come on. Woo! He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Have faith in God, for assuredly, I like the King James better, for verily, verily, I say unto you. I just like that word, verily. Right? And that's the way that I learned and memorized it. So, for assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Did Jesus lie? Did Jesus lie? Then why are we asking why? Right? Think about it. Think about it for just a minute. I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be thou removed and cast in the sea. How many have ever done that? How many have ever done that? How many have not had their mountains move? Right? Talking about faith in God, the God kind of faith, and does not doubt in his heart. See, I believe that we have the faith, but we got to get the doubt out. We've got to attack the doubt and not allow the doubt when the doubt comes. What do I mean by that? You're believing God for a healing. You're believing God for a restoration. You're believing God for finances. And the whatabouts come. You know the whatabouts? What about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? Don't you see this? I mean, come on. Come on. And you've got all the good Christian brothers and sisters that are saying, well, you know, sometimes he will, sometimes he won't. You never know what God's going to do. I would tell you to kick them out of your house. Especially, not meanly, but especially when you're going after the hem of his garment. Yeah. Right? I'm not talking all the time, but when you're really seeking God for something, there's a time to shut other people out so that you can hear what He has to say. Come on. And does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. There's two things here you have to believe and you have to say. I said you have to believe and you have to say. So you have to talk to yourself. You have to talk to anybody who will listen to you. Anybody that's sending doubts to you, you have to talk to it. You talk to yourself all the time. Some of you answer yourself. Here's the deal though. We need to begin to talk to ourselves about who Jesus is, what Jesus has done, what He's promised, and that it's for me. I said it's for me. It's for me. I refuse to have less than what He's promised to me. Next verse. We're going to close pretty quick. Therefore I say to you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. I think oftentimes, especially for our own personal things, we pray too quick. I said we pray too quick. Why? Because we don't believe yet. We shouldn't pray till we believe. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. In other words, come on, I believe and so therefore I'm taking this in the Spirit in Jesus' name. And I have it right now. The manifestation, I don't care if it comes today, tomorrow, next year, or 20 years from now, I have it right now. Come on. I am believing God for a revival to happen in this county, in this city, in this area, in Jesus' name. Right? I'm praying that way. I'm believing that way. So I got to quit talking about how bad things are and begin to declare who He is. Well, what if it doesn't happen? I don't care if it happens today. I don't care if it happens next year. I don't care if it happens 10 years from now. It's going to happen. I may be dead and gone, but my prayers are still working. Why? Because I believed when I prayed and I said that it will happen, it will happen. So let's just wrap this up. Maybe you've let go of something. Maybe you're believing God for something, but you've settled for something else. And maybe you said, well, you know, I don't understand it, but I'm just going to accept what I have. I'm telling you to rethink that today. Some of us are believing God for open doors to minister. Is anybody in the room like that? Yeah. Open doors to minister. Well, start believing that the Holy Spirit is in you. That the Holy Spirit will give you something. That the Holy Spirit will show you something. That He'll open a door for you. And then watch this. Any crack in a door, push it open and go in. Come on. That's another sermon. I can't get there. But watch this. God, what have you promised? Maybe you're just reading your word and you say, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And you go, oh my, that would be nice, but that's not my reality. I'm anxious about everything. Right? And I'm worried about this, and I'm worried about that, and what about this, and I watch too much news. And yeah, you can get rid of a lot of anxiety if you just shut the news off and open the Bible. But anyway, you get that and you go, oh God, is that possible for me? You said it, Lord. You said to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. That peace that passes all understanding. So Lord, I don't have it right now, but I'm going to work on it. I'm going to get my Bible out and I'm going to find every scripture that deals with peace. And I'm going to begin to declare that over myself because it's the Word of God coming in that will drive the doubt out. I'm telling you, if you'll put in the time, you'll see the results. By faith. By faith you can move mountains. By faith you can calm the storms. By faith you can see your bodies healed. Amen? Amen. By faith. By faith. Y'all get something this morning? Come on. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I believe that there's some going to even be watching online that they just can't figure out why nothing happens right for them. I hope, Lord, that your word has gone into them today and they've seen it and they've decided today. That changes. Right now, that changes. I'm determined to take you at your word, and I'm going to declare with my mouth what you've said. And Father, I'm going to declare it and declare it and declare it until all doubt is removed so that I can see the manifestation of your promise. I thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. Thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. I believe I receive. So, Lord, I receive your peace. I receive your joy. I receive your goodness. I receive your mercy. I receive your healing. I receive your prosperity. I receive everything that you promised, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you're listening, you're here, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, listen, I'm telling you, there is heaven to gain and hell to shun. The only way to get to heaven is with Jesus. He has to be your Lord and Savior. If He's not, then you're in trouble. But you can make Him the Lord of your life right now. Just repeat this after me. Everybody in the room, just repeat this together. Father, in Jesus' name, I believe in my heart, so I'm saying with my mouth, Jesus is the Lord. He's the Messiah. He's the one who took my place on the cross. I believe in my heart, and so I'm saying with my mouth that He was raised from the dead for my justification. Because of the blood of Jesus, I am now a child of God. I receive it by faith right now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you for joining us. God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.